I have often wondered what it would be like to be in God's presence. Now, that is not to say I haven't felt God's presence in my life. I have. It's not to say I haven't had my heart strangely warmed by the reality and experience of God's love. I've felt those things. But I'm speaking and wondering in this moment of a literal presence, a spoken voice. To have the divine immediately in front of me, I wonder what that would be like. Or even if not the presence in front of me, what it would be like to have God talk to me. To hear God clearly and without question. Now, I don't expect that or feel entitled to it. And honestly, I've come to a place where I do not need it. My faith does not require God's voice to be able to believe in love and grace and making a difference in this world. Though it really would be cool, and I'm not turning it down if it's ever an option. I bring this up because our scriptures tell us stories of God coming to people and God speaking to people. And I've always wondered what that would be like. Though it's interesting, the stories in our scriptures never actually tell us how or in what manner God appears or speaks. They're sometimes metaphors or brief descriptions, but we don't know. Is it more of an internal knowing? Using that idea of when God spoke as a metaphor kind of a thing? I'd like to think it would be clear and obvious and very empowering to hear directly from God. That if God would speak directly to me, that it would make my life easier. Maybe not. Because if our scriptures tell us anything, it's that that's not how it goes when God talks to people. In fact, when God speaks, there is more doubt, more equivocating, and more cowering than there is anything else. When God asks things of people, there's actually a very common pattern in our Bible. And it goes like this. And God spoke, and the person said, no. I mean, seriously, you can start flipping through this thing. It's every other page. And the people said, no. It's like the little picture on the internet with the octopus. Nope, 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 nope. Just over and over. This is nearly every single prophet in our scriptures. You see this no as God appears and talks to them. Now, just to check in our scriptures, prophets are not fortune tellers. They don't have crystal balls and they don't tell the future or read your palm. Prophets in our scriptures speak the truth. They help bring attention in the world to what the parenting books I've been reading call natural consequences. You see, it's not a threat to look at a group of people and say, that action is probably going to end poorly. It's observing and putting into words the patterns and choices that the people who are in the middle of them usually aren't aware of. Do you see this is what you're doing? And do you know how that usually ends? This is the role of the prophet in our scriptures. And much like how prophets respond to God, no. The general population tends to respond to prophets the same way. No. No, thank you. We don't need to hear that right now. You're wrong. Leave. You know, one of these truth-speaking, consequence-observing prophets in our scriptures was named Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called by God. Yes, I left a small pause there, hoping someone would say a bullfrog, but we'll move on. Jeremiah was called by God to speak truth to the world. The scriptures use a very traditional language for God's relationship with Jeremiah. See, it says in our scriptures, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Hear this from the book. The Lord's word came to me. Before I created you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I made you a prophet to the nations. Ah, but Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak because I'm only a child. The Lord responded, do not say I am only a child. Where I send you, you shall go. What I tell you, you shall say. Don't be afraid of them, because I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand, touched my mouth, and said to me, I'm putting my words into your mouth. This very day I appoint you over nations and empires to dig up, to pull down, to destroy and demolish, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. It doesn't tell us how. It doesn't tell us if it was an audible voice or if Jeremiah just knew. But it was obviously real enough for Jeremiah to respond as all prophets do, by saying no. Well, he kind of said no. He actually does what most prophets do. I didn't mean to oversimplify it by saying no. You see, he comes up with a reason that he can't. I'm too young, God. I mean, let's be honest. Saying no to God might be a little bit forward. So most of our prophets actually go the passive-aggressive route by coming up with excuses and reasons they're just not able to. I'm too young, Jeremiah says. I don't speak well, said Moses. They're not going to listen to me, Jonah cries. I have commitments I just can't leave, Matthew tells Jesus. I could go on, because there's more. Jeremiah receives an invitation from God, the word of the Lord, a divine invitation, and he responds with, I can't. I'm too young. You know, I wonder, who was actually responding to God's request? Was it Jeremiah? Was that him? Is he the kind of person that would just say no to that divine invitation? Was it Jeremiah responding, or perhaps, could it have been the echoing of voices that he carried with him from life? You know those voices that get into our head, and they start to tell us things, and they start to shape how we think and shape how we feel about ourselves? Maybe it was the voice of the neighbor kid Jeremiah thought was a friend growing up until that same friend joined in everyone else making fun of him as he was crying because of his skinned knee and everyone standing around saying, oh, the baby wants his mommy, look at the little kid. And that friend is just not there for him. Maybe it's that echoing voice of his older brother who would always tell him to get lost because you're not old enough to hang out with me and my friends. Maybe it was a parent who didn't want him taking risks because, Jeremiah, you're so much smaller than the bigger kids, I just want you to be safe. Maybe it was a potential employer who politely deferred with the classic line, we're looking for someone with more experience. After a lifetime of people telling you things, so many different ways they'll say it, but the same message over and over and over. Is that the voice that's responding here? Maybe the ones in your head are different. Maybe it hasn't been that you're too young. Maybe it's any other list of reasons people will tell you no. But they get in there. And then they start responding instead of us responding. When the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah, who was actually answering? Was it Jeremiah or was it one or all of these voices that he couldn't get out of his head? I mean, this talented, chosen man who had God's word come directly to him says no. His response to this divine message was, no thank you. If he can't find the confidence and courage to say yes, how are any of the rest of us supposed to? Because we all have to answer that question. Because God is calling each and every one of us. These last few weeks, we've been focused on the idea of sharing what we love. That we, every one of us, have something to share with the world. That invitation to share, that is a divine invitation. It's not just some phrase we're like, let's throw that on the bulletin. This is God's request. This is God's invitation to you to share what you love by sharing who you are. God is asking that of each and every one of us, that we might share that with the world. And we need to respond. No matter how long we've ignored it or pushed it away or pretended it wasn't there, that invitation awaits us. And let's just be honest, not responding is a response. It's just another one on the list of passive-aggressive ways we tell God no. And when we respond, who's really answering? Is it us? Are we answering God from a place of who we truly are? Or are we answering from a lifetime of hurts and disappointments and judgments? Because that's what's answering for us. Are the voices of these worldly and sometimes even self-criticisms drowning out our own trusting, loving invitation from God? Could our experiences in life be speaking a no on our behalf before we even realize what's been said? And if they are, what are we supposed to do about it? How do we overcome what can feel like a lifetime of no? If you'll look around, you'll find the answer. To prepare ourselves to respond to God's invitation, we will all be the better for having surrounded ourselves with people who say yes to who we are and what we love. That's what we do for one another here. For us to respond affirmatively to God's call, we need to spend some time being affirmed. You know, which in its own way is another invitation from God. An invitation to be a loving, affirming community that says yes to people. That says yes to who people are. That's what we're supposed to be about. And not just inside these walls. If we want to see the world change, if we want to see a better tomorrow, one of the best things we can do is affirm the people around us. So that when they hear a divine invitation, however it may come, they might be ready to respond the way others respond to them. Yes. Now, very few people would use the phrase, the word of the Lord came to me. I doubt you're going to hear that from someone this week. But God does show up. God invites. God places opportunities in front of people. And God does this not just for the people of Highlands United Methodist Church. God does this not just for the people called Methodist. God does this not just for Christian people. God invites all people to take part in transforming the world because that's how big the job is. And far too many people respond the same way they hear the world respond to them. By saying no. And we get to help change that. You know, I don't think God extends invitations haphazardly. I believe that when God invites us to share who we are, when God invites us to share what we love, God is doing so with great intention and deep awareness and a strong faith in each and every one of us. I don't want you to miss that. God has faith in you. There are so many songs and sermons and scriptures that seem to talk about our faith in God that it's easy to forget that God has faith in us. God has faith in who you are and what you're capable of. It's one of the reasons I love the opening verses of our scripture today. Now, you hear me say that I love a lot of scriptures. True. But this one's really at the top of my list. Hear these words from the book of Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. God knows you. God loves you. And God has faith in you. That's why God has asked you to be who you are and share what you love. Because God cherishes it. And God knows the world will be a better place when you do those things. It's why God created you to be who you are and love what you love. Because God knew that you would be needed. It's kind of funny, any of the reasons that come up, those voices in our minds, all those reasons we think we can't do things, God knows. God knows those too. God already knows all the reasons we think we can't. And what's really, I don't want to say funny, it's outright ironic. What's really ironic about this is most of the stuff that we think are reasons we can't do it are the very reasons God is asking us to. Those are the things that make us who we are. And those are the things God loves most about us. Those are the things that make us who we are. They're the things that the world needs most, and they are a part of who God created us to be. So keep your eyes open. Keep your heart listening, because God shows up. Invitations arise and opportunities appear. God's presence is in our lives. And all those voices that echo no in our mind, they pale in comparison to the yes of God's love and God's faith in you. So do not say no. If you're not ready to say yes, maybe we could go with, let's talk. Amen.